off. Welcome into the Daily Tap on the Snow Tap Podcast Network. Your boy Nolan Murphy filling in for the CEO Charlie Trichler, as I am sure he is nursing a mighty hangover. Celebrated a friend of the show, Shaycon's wedding last night, Saturday in Elkhart Lake, and we will hear from the CEO himself, Charlie Trichler, I'm sure, for a Daily Tap tomorrow morning as Wisconsin. A little bittersweet Saturday as we finished up the 2018 NFL Draft and mourned the end of the Bucs season. Snowtap WI, it is a website. You can follow them on Instagram, on Twitter. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Nolan Murphy. Subscribe to the Daily Tap and the Tapping the Keg podcast on Google, Stitcher, iTunes, you name it. I usually listen on iTunes, so we appreciate everybody listening. It's been fun launching this as one of the godfathers of Tapping the Keg. I know Mitch and Charlie are really proud for what Daily Tap has become and what it will be in the future. But let's jump right into it. The Milwaukee Bucks last night finally put their miserable season behind us. And I say miserable because I really do think it's somewhat of a lost season starting in the offseason with the GM shuffling, with not knowing who the owner is and who's in control, whether it be Wes Edens, whether it be Mark Lazary, who have brought in the Bucks a ton of value since they made that major investment in buying the team and really saving their future in Milwaukee. The new stadium will be amazing. The Bucks jerseys are amazing. But the roster right now and who is leading this team is a little unknown. Joe Prunty, I'm sure a great guy, wore another awful suit combination in Game 7 of that first-round series in which the Bucks lost. And really never, I felt like we were in control of the game. They end up losing 112-96. Chris Middleton leads the way with 32. I've said this before, but I want to apologize to Chris Middleton. He balled out in this playoffs and really has a future in Milwaukee unless we get some exorbitant offer for a Kawhi Leonard, which I do not think is happening, or are able to bring in a Paul George and maybe a Boogie Cousins. But Chris Middleton is most likely here to stay in Milwaukee as the number two punch to Giannis. Probably the silver lining of the Bucks getting knocked out is when they did is Giannis looks extremely tired. He looks extremely banged up. And another series looming, what would have been against the Philadelphia 76ers. Maybe the Bucks win a game, but any more wear and tear on Giannis's ankle, we don't need to see. I hope he does not need offseason surgery. And as I tweeted out, you know, the only silver lining is that we realized, and I tweeted this out at the Nolan Murphy, the only silver lining of this season is Giannis realized what it maybe will take to become an MVP of this league. A lot of people were tweeting out last night that they think Giannis is a future MVP of the league. I think that's going to go to Anthony Davis before Giannis Antetokounmpo, but time will tell. And Giannis needs to get in the gym all summer. He needs to shoot 1,000 jumpers a day, a week, whatever it takes. He needs to develop a consistent mid-range, and if he can develop any sort of consistent three-point shooting, he is going to be a force to be reckoned with and legitimately unguardable. And it's fitting with this Bucks season. Jason Kidd gets fired midway through the season. He rides certain players just like Joe Prunty did down the stretch, barely playing Malcolm Brogdon, I felt like, in this series against the Celtics. And it went down like how we saw so many times. Jason Terry plays 20 minutes, and his defensive effort. I mean, Jason Terry could be a great coach in this league someday, but it is just so annoying to see Jason Terry in this Bucks team have to play him and have him on the court. Just looking at some other things. I mean, Giannis has 22 points. He's minus 16. Matthew Dellavedova somehow played 8 minutes and was minus 21 on the floor. I thought Thon Maker really showed that he may have a future in Milwaukee in this series. Thon has 5 points, 6 rebounds. Pretty happy about that. And 4 assists. I think Giannis could potentially, I think Thon Maker potentially could be a starter on this team in the future. We will see what his offseason looks like. And I'm already in the trade machine, ladies and gentlemen. I am deep into the trade machine, and I'm trying to figure out a way that we can improve this roster. Maybe it's Boogie Cousins, which I think would be amazing. Maybe it's Kelly Olynyk from the Miami Heat, James Johnson in a trade. But we will get to the Brewers. The Bucks are going to have to do something this offseason to entice Giannis to stay here long-term, and that's the only goal. Opening up a new stadium next season will be really exciting, and we want to make sure that we have a really exciting team around it. And this becomes like the Packers in Wisconsin, where every game is must-watch, and we don't see some of the efforts we saw throughout the season, lackadaisical. Some nights the Bucks show up. Some nights they play down to the level of their competition. Some nights they're able to beat teams like the Golden State Warriors, who throttled the Pelicans last night. I watched that game and felt like I was in a horse race. It was so fast. The Pelicans might steal a game in that Warriors-Pelicans series, but we will see. Again, Daily Tap here, Nolan Murphy filling in for the CEO, Charlie Trichler, as he is on a wedding and getting over a hangover, I'm sure, from a wedding last night in Elkhart Lake. Again, follow me on Twitter at TheNolanMurphy. You can follow Charlie and Snowtap at SnowtapWI. SnowtapWI is a website. Remember that. Please subscribe to the Daily Tap and Tapping the Keg podcast. Before we get to the Packers, obviously that's my bread and butter. We will recap the NFL draft. But just a little notes on the Brewers. I'm not trying to be a negative Brewers fan, but they've already lost three of four to the Chicago Cubs in Wrigley Field. Not scoring more than two runs all weekend, getting shut out twice. And the Brewers, they do need to pick the offense up. The pitching has been okay. They did add Wade Miley. They brought him up. He will be in their starting rotation. They sent Brett Suter to the bullpen to just strengthen that bullpen, which we're going to need all season long. Won't touch too much on the Brewers, but it's just disappointing. It's disappointing, I think, for the Brewers to go into Wrigley Field. 16-12 now in the year heading into Sunday's game. We will see if they are able to salvage the series and not get swept, which would be huge. They do have, you know, an easy schedule coming up, though. Three games in Cincinnati. They're one of the worst teams in the league. And then they host the Pittsburgh Pirates for a weekend series in Miller Park. Again, Daily Tap here. Nolan Murphy filling in for Charlie Trichler. We'll be here for a few more minutes. We are going to touch on the Packers 2018 NFL Draft. That all started out the action on Thursday night. The Packers moving back and then getting Jaire Alexander from Louisville. A guy I did not believe the Packers would actually pick because he is under the previous regime, Ted Thompson's height limit at 6 feet. He is 5'10", 5'11", but this guy's a bulldog. It looks like he is going to be the replacement for Demarius Randle. He will wear 23. He's also probably will be the opening day starter above Quentin Rollins as he recovers from that ACL injury. But Alexander is a guy that was all over the ball at Louisville in the ACC. He had some injury problems. It scares me a little bit, but it looks like he'll take over punt return duties from Randall Cobb, which it always makes me happy. And the Packers get really lucky in day two. Josh Jackson falls all the way to him late in the second round. This is a guy that I thought could be a first-round pick. He had the two pick six against the Badgers for Iowa, and he will start hopefully opposite of Kevin King. And the Packers, it sounds like with Mike Pettine, have really built a really nice secondary. Then Oren Burks, the Packers draft him. It looks like the end of Jake Ryan, unfortunately, the Michigan product we drafted a few years ago. Oren Burks is a very versatile safety linebacker type that we've seen a lot in the NFL. And I think he may be counted on early on to be implemented into Mike Pettine's defense that's going to fly around. Then we get Jamon Moore, the Missouri wide receiver, and if you read my 2018 NFL draft preview on Snowtap WI, you knew that I like Jamon Moore. This guy has all the size and speed to be a quality number two receiver. He's a little bit raw, but he did have 10 touchdowns last season for the Missouri Tigers in the SEC. He was a highly touted prospect coming out of the state of Texas, and I love the size we added there. Cole Madison, don't know much about him out of Washington State. Go Cougs! But you got to love the name and increasing some depth there on the offensive line. Then the Packers pick a punter in the fifth round. They had a couple of fifth-round picks. Justin Vogel, who we picked last year from the University of Miami or acquired last year from the University of Miami, wasn't great, but Scott was the best punter in this draft class. He's actually also a holder, and he can handle kickoff duties and kicking. Could be the end of Mason Crosby, and there will be a competition. But the Packers dealt with holder issues all of last year. Moving on to other picks by the Packers in the late rounds, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. He is another big wide receiver. The Packers picked three receivers over 6'2", including Ekwonemius St. Brown from Notre Dame, who was one of Deshaun Kizer's go-to deep ball and receiving threats when Deshaun Kizer was at Notre Dame in 2016. Then they finish out the draft, drafting James Looney, who is from Lake Worth, Florida, in the West Palm Beach area where I live. Looney went to Cal and is a big guy, quick hands, quick feet. We'll see what Mike Pettine is able to mold to him. We also drafted a long snapper, so the Packers really concentrating on special teams, Hunter Bradley. And then Kendall Donerson, he is from Missouri State, very fast, very athletic. We'll see if he has the ability to make the team. I really liked the Packers draft, you know, as we look at it in a whole. I really hope Jair Alexander can make an impact day one as well as Josh Jackson. And we will be on Dez Bryant watch. I don't know if the Packers will bring in Dez Bryant with drafting three receivers. And I was a little disappointed that they were not able to get an edge rusher, but maybe that's because they feel like Vince Beagle in year two is going to come in really healthy and is not going to be in a wheelchair, and it sounds like he's been able to participate all season, all in the offseason. And we need Nick Perry to be healthy. We need Clay Matthews III to be healthy. And that front defensive line, Muhammad Wilkerson, Kenny Clark, and Mike Daniels, that could be one of the best in the NFL. And we really hope so. Aaron Rodgers got to be healthy. I wanted the Packers to pick up a running back, maybe a Ronald Jones out of USC. We did not see that. But this draft will definitely be highlighted by a few things. The Seattle Seahawks changing the guard from the Legion of Boom to the Legion of Griffins. I wanted Shaquem Griffin, an amazing story with the one hand out of UCF. But he goes and follows his brother Shaq Griffin in Seattle. Great pick by John Schneider in Seattle. My guy John Schneider, Green Bay, Wisconsin native. And then the trades in the quarterbacks. You know, there was a lot of trading in the first round. The Ravens moved back up to get Lamar Jackson, which I think may end up being the steal of the draft. I love Baker Mayfield, but he's going to be under a ton of pressure in Cleveland. Josh Rosen, man, telling people that there was 9 mistakes made by the teams that passed on him. We will see if Josh Rosen is able to live up to the hype and the bravado that he brings. Great fit there in Arizona. Obviously, Larry Fitzgerald's still there. They have David Johnson coming back healthy. And I might buy into the Cardinals being kind of a sleeper team. I know there's a lot of hype right now about the Niners and the Los Angeles Rams in the NFC West, but the Cardinals are still a really good team, and they are going to have a good offense. And I think Steve Wilks, their new coach, he's got a good team in front of him. They lose Tyrann Mathieu. They're going to kind of have a change in the guard in the secondary. But we will see how Sam Darnold ends up with the New York Jets. And Josh Allen going to the Bills Mafia. Hashtag draftjoshallen.com from Barstool. Josh Allen, man, he just feels like he fits in Orchard Park in Buffalo. So the 2018 draft is wrapped up. I enjoyed watching it. I watched a little bit on Fox, but again, ESPN is just such a bread and butter. Mel Kiper, Lewis Riddick, Todd McShay, Trey Wingo from Golic and Wingo holding down the fort in Dallas. We will see where the NFL draft goes next year. It has not yet been decided. Hopefully someday they are able to bring the NFL draft to Lambeau Field and to the new Title Town development, which would be awesome. You know, Green Bay, like Canton, is one of the founding cities of the NFL. The Packers going into their 100th. Year in existence should be really fun. That'll wrap it up for the Daily Tap. Again, follow me on Twitter at the Nolan Murphy, on Instagram at the Nolan Murphy. We appreciate everybody listening, everybody following along on Snowtap WI. It is a website. Charlie will be back later Sunday night or Monday to recap what the Brewers were able to salvage in Wrigley Field. Also, Cavs-Pacers going on right now, Game 7 on ABC. Maybe LeBron James's last ever game in a Cleveland Cavalier uniform. I'm sure Charlie will touch on that, as well as putting a finish on the Milwaukee Bucks season. Peace out, Tappers.